Good morning. This is Doug Poling with the CBS World News Roundup. It is a somber weekend for Americans. Sadness for fallen patriots is being expressed here at home and far away. The mournful bugle was sounded at the airport in Dubrovnik, Croatia, as the bodies of Commerce Secretary Ron Brown and 32 others were placed aboard two military transports for the journey home. A tribute was spoken by U.S. Ambassador to Croatia, Peter Galbraith.
As Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed indeed are those who perished on a mission of peace.
I'm Mark Noller in Washington. It will be another day of mourning, remembrance, and tribute. President Clinton will be at Dover Air Force Base in Delaware this afternoon as the remains of those killed in that plane crash in Croatia are returned to American soil. It was evident from Mr. Clinton's remarks in Oklahoma City yesterday that he is far from over the pain and shock of the deaths, especially that of Commerce Secretary Ron Brown, whom the president calls his great and good friend.
My friend Ron Brown, who grew up in Harlem, never forgot where he came from, and spent his lifetime trying to help other people realize their dreams.
Arrangements have been made for the families of the 33 Americans who perished in the crash to be at the airbase as well. The White House says the president will meet privately with those families, but will also offer public words of tribute. Mark Noller, CBS News, Washington.
There's word some of those people holed up at a compound of anti-government protesters in Montana known as Freeman have left a ranch surrounded by FBI agents. The latest from newsman Tim Ryan in Jordan, Montana.
It has been confirmed that two people came out of the compound overnight. We don't know exactly who they are, but it now is confirmed from a law enforcement source here in Jordan that two people came out overnight, possibly after a third negotiating session. When asked whether others were expected to follow suit today to also leave the Freeman compound, the law enforcement source tells me you're on the right track. So possibly others may be following suit.
The FBI is working hard to build a case against the suspected Unabomber. There's word a mountain of evidence, including notebooks, typewriters, and other items, has been taken from his mountain cabin. Randall Pinkston reports from Helena, Montana.
A week ago, few people had heard of a former math professor named Theodore Kaczynski. Now a parking lot full of reporters, cameras, and satellite trucks watch his every move as he shuttles between the county jail and the federal courthouse. Yesterday, Kaczynski waived his chance for a hearing, opting to remain in jail until prosecutors present evidence to a grand jury. So far, FBI and ATF agents have found chemicals and materials used to make bombs in Kaczynski's one-room mountain cabin, 60 miles northwest of here. Kaczynski's being held in a single cell with glass windows for close watch, although officials say he's not suicidal. Randall Pinkston, CBS News, Helena, Montana.
In Tyler, Texas, a man convicted of plotting to blow up an Internal Revenue Service center in Austin faces up to life in prison. Prosecutors said Charles Ray Polk has a consuming hatred for the IRS. The time now coming up on 4 minutes after the hour. In Texas, 32-year-old convict Larry Don McQuay just may get his wish to make himself less of a threat to society. McQuay calls himself a child-molesting demon. WOAI's Jim Forsythe has the story from San Antonio.
McQuay is set to be released from prison on Monday. He has requested castration, saying he will continue to abuse children and will kill his next victim. State Controller John Sharp says public funds can pay for the castration on the grounds that it would help train doctors at state medical schools. Ron Aaron, who runs the San Antonio Rape Crisis Center, says the McQuay case demonstrates that society still doesn't take child abuse seriously.
Fact is, you are more likely to go to prison for sticking up a convenience store than for raping your neighbor's daughter.
McQuay is set to be released to San Antonio. District Attorney Steve Hilbig is investigating McQuay's claim that he abused more than 200 children and says he'll file new charges if any of those claims check out. Jim Forsythe for CBS News, San Antonio.
In the British Columbia city of Vernon, an estranged husband shot and killed his wife and eight of her relatives as they prepared for a family wedding. Jeremy Pelletier is a neighbor who heard the gunfire.
And there's shots, one of the ladies screaming, and then pop, pop. And then my friends and I came up here, and the driveway's quite a mess. There's a There's a guy laying by the, in front of the car. He's pretty shot up.
After the shootings, the man drove to a motel, wrote a note of apology, and shot himself to death. At the Menendez brothers' trial, the question of attorney competence has come up, along with a request for a mistrial. David Dow in Los Angeles has the details.
The penalty phase of the retrial of Eric and Lyle Menendez will resume Monday following still another bizarre twist in a case that dates back almost 7 years. The latest detour took place after a psychiatrist testified that he'd edited his notes covering a session with Eric Menendez at the request of Leslie Abramson, Eric's high-profile lawyer. That brought up the issue of possible attorney misconduct. And after Abramson invoked her right to avoid self-incrimination, her co-counsel and a lawyer for Lyle Menendez both moved for mistrials. After a lengthy hearing, Judge Stanley Weisberg rejected the motions, and the case once again lurched back on track. David Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
23-year-old Carmelita Agueti is due in court in Phoenix today. Authorities say she put her newborn baby boy in a garbage bag and dumped him in a septic tank in the restroom at a park. The boy was rescued. He's in good condition. The mother is charged with attempted homicide and child abuse. Actress Greer Garson has died at a hospital in Dallas. She was a leading lady in Hollywood for many years, starring in films such as Goodbye, Mr. Chips and Mrs. Miniver. Jack Roach was a family friend.
She always told me that her favorite movie was Random Harvest, and that she particularly enjoyed doing Sunrise at Campobello.
She was nominated for an Oscar in that movie, portraying Eleanor Roosevelt. Greer Garson was 87 years old. The time is 7 minutes past the hour. Not as bad as last year. That's the word on what to expect for the 96 hurricane season. Correspondent Dan Revive has details from Miami.
The nation's leading hurricane predictor, Professor William Gray of Colorado State, tells Atlantic Coast residents that tropical storm season that begins June 1st shouldn't be quite so scary as a year ago.
We will have a little bit above average hurricane season. Certainly nothing like last year. There's no way to get two intense hurricane seasons like we in a row.
Gray's predictions at a conference in Orlando take the form of numbers. 11 storms, he says, will be strong enough to be given names. 11 compared with 19 last year. Two should be major hurricanes compared with 5 last year. Where they'll hit, if they'll reach land, is something he says he can't predict. Dan Revive, CBS News, Miami.
Sherman Dairy Products of Michigan is recalling up to 2,000 half-gallon containers of ice cream contaminated with a potentially fatal bacteria. Today's New York Times has a report that government workers stole data on some 11,000 Americans. The Times says employees of the Social Security Administration gave the information to a credit card fraud ring. The report says that allowed the ring to activate cards stolen from the mail and to run up huge bills from merchants. A search is underway for thousands of missing Social Security checks that were to have been delivered to residents of Wyoming, Colorado, and Nebraska. The checks, usually delivered on the second of every month, disappeared after being mailed from the U.S. Treasury office in San Francisco. Lawsuits against tobacco companies are becoming commonplace in America. Now the trend is spreading to Japan. Steve Herman reports from Tokyo.
For the first time in Japanese history, smokers are suing the government-controlled tobacco monopoly. Four current heavy smokers and one former smoker are asking the Nagoya District Court to stop Japan Tobacco from making and selling cigarettes. The plaintiffs are asking to be awarded about $9,500 each, contending that they were never warned about the dangers of smoking. Compared to the United States, Japan is a smoker's paradise. 60% of men and 16% of women smoke, and they're permitted to smoke practically anywhere. There are warnings on cigarette packages, but they're mild, with admonitions such as don't smoke too much and smoking may harm your health. Japan Tobacco, mostly owned by the finance ministry, contends there's no proven link between smoking and disease. Previous suits by those claiming ill effects from secondhand smoke have been rejected by the courts here. But industry observers say the success of anti-smoking litigation in America could influence Japanese public opinion and courts in the years ahead. Steve Herman for CBS News, Tokyo.
According to Rupert Murdoch, the movie industry is turning out too many pictures. He says major studios are grinding them out these days while the movie audiences are not getting any bigger. Murdoch's company is in the film business. It owns 20th Century Fox. A reminder, for most of us anyway, that daylight savings time begins tomorrow, officially at 2 a.m. local time on Sunday. Americans affected will need to set their clocks forward 1 hour. The time now, 10 minutes past the hour.